Land of the Plumed Serpent. Welcome to this Present Truth program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is Sunday, the 19th of October, 2025. My website, thispresenttruth.com. The programs on the web, on the podcast section, either the This Present Truth program or the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry site. So, I suppose I should explain myself. America, land of the plumed serpent. That is the actual Aztec name, Inca name of the United States of America, of North America, the land of the plumed serpent. From an article in Bibliotecapillades, this was by an author, Alexander Light, March 2nd, 2012. I'm going to quote, "The worship of the serpent gods, the oldest religion on earth." Quoting the book Secret Doctrines by H.P. Blavatsky, states that the worship of the dragon and the sun were universal on the earth plane. Why is this important? Well, if you read the book of Revelation, which is available to anyone to read, in the book of Revelation, Christ, through the vision given to John the Apostle, made it clear that in the distant future, in the time in which we live, there would be the secrets that have been hidden for ages concerning the occult world, the secret religions of the world, the deities that were worshipped would be revealed, would no longer be concealed by governments or by secret societies. According to the book of Revelation, Christ wanted the world in which we live to understand there was two dimensions. Simply, there may be many other dimensions. Some say there are 12 dimensions. Well, we won't get into that. I'll stay simply with the physical world and the spiritual world. The dragon, we know as Satan, Diablo, Apollyon, or the spirits of power, are entities that exist, intelligent, and they are eternal. They are extremely intelligent, and they all deceive. It would be Satan and all of Satan's company of angels, fallen angels and demons. The book of Revelation is a book of worship, the worship by God's holy angels and the people at the end of the age worshiping God himself, Christ, who is the very God, who is God himself, and also the nemesis, the created angel, the angel of light, the illuminated one, the devil, or Satan. And according to the book of Revelation, mankind will not be able to escape the reality of the hidden dimension, the invisible world, and the powers in the invisible world, God and his angels and holy angels, and Satan and his fallen angels that rebelled against God, and the demons. We have moved into that time. No one can escape it. The world will not escape the reality of what is hidden and what is now being revealed, with a world that has basically gone mad. Going on with the article, there was a time when the four parts of the world were covered with the temples sacred to the sun and the dragon, but the cult is now preserved mostly in China and the Buddhist countries. The dragon, however, is not the Middle Age concept of a beast with wings breathing fire, but is, in reality, a snake. I continue to quote the article. "Welcome to Amaruka, the land of the serpent gods. In his book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies, William T. Still shows that America was called initially the land of the plumed feathered serpents by the Indians of Peru. James Percy researched an article written in the Theosophical Society magazine entitled Lucifer, which gave insight into the world America. He says that the chief god of the Mayan Indians in Central America was Quetzalcoatl. Kukulcan, the plumed serpent, the feathered serpent. In Peru, this god was called Amaru, and the territory known as Amaruca. And after about 1940, there have been hundreds of these mysterious Nazca glyphs that have just been revealed. These are symbols that you can see from the air. But until we were able to fly over these areas and even use some of the sensitive equipment to photograph these areas, people didn't really know that these glyphs actually existed. But going back to the article that Amaruca, that these Mayan gods, again, they were worshiping Quetzalcoatl, which was the chief god, which could have been Satan or a fallen angel. I believe it was probably most likely the devil himself. And not to shock everyone, but in previous programs, I remember in 1998, 7, 8, 9, hearing the quotes of some of the individuals in the satanic covens here in America. Their quote was that this century in which we live now would be a satanic century. So in other words, after 1999 into the years 2000, this whole century was, you might say, consecrated to Satan. It would be a satanic century. The world would eventually, the whole world, would become the kingdom of Satan on the earth. All the nations of the world. And if you just looking at every nation has secret societies, different occult religions, many kinds of many religions, but not worshiping Christ or the God of the Bible, but idols and demons. This is exactly what it is stated in the book of Revelation. There's the term Apollyon, the dragon, Apollos, etc. The great dragon, Christ was telling the future world before his return that eventually the nations of the world would begin to gradually direct worship to away from God and toward demons or idols or other gods, which are not gods, they are powers, spiritual powers. The Apostle Paul speaks of these type of powers in the book of Ephesians. There would be principalities, powers, rulers in the air, entities with great power, entities with great ability, intellectual, powerful. Christ, through the Apostle John, was trying to warn the time in which we live, that there would be this great anti-God spiritual revolution, rebellion against God once again. Christ, in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, stated that as it was in the days of Noah, once again, the world would be as it was in the days of Noah. So would it happen again. The spirits that had deceived mankind prior to the great flood, these spirits once again would begin to deceive the peoples of the world in all the nations. In the book of Revelation, Christ was, or John had written, documented, that there would be a great nation codenamed Babylon the Great. And this Babylon the Great, this great whore, would become a nation of very powerful witchcraft. The ability as a nation to deceive the nations of the world, and the nations of the world would commit fornication with this end time kingdom, and it would be through sorcery. I know that some that may listen to this program, you would know the term pharmakia, meaning sorcery, pharmacy, which in the Greek would be witchcraft, magic, sorcery, spiritual deception. And this nation, Babylon the Great, would deceive all the nations of the world, and the nations of the world that wouldn't basically yield to the wishes of this end-time empire. According to the book of Jeremiah 51, the nations would be basically destroyed, attacked, and suffer destruction. Going back to the initial article, the author, he says that America, the name is derived from Amerika again, instead of after the explorer Amerigo Vespucci. This proves that the serpent worship was common throughout all cultures, especially now the United States. And the name Amerika really, according to the article, should be interpreted as the land of the winged serpents, not a, but many. More to the point, the land of the flying serpents, which means that these serpents had the capability to fly. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul states in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Paul the Apostle stated that the Christians were to put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12 states, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Simply meaning in the air, invisible powers that have their habitation, that are not confined to the earth, to walk on the ground. And in Egypt, they had this winged sun, and this supposedly began going back to the first civilization, the Sumerians. There are a lot of talk about Sumerians, and quite interesting, quite deep. The Bible talks about the world from the time of Adam, Adam's two children, Abel and Cain, and what happens and what follows in the generations to come. So anyhow, the reason I feel to present this is because what here I'm going to focus more on the United States of America. Eventually, back in the 60s, 70s here in Colorado, spending time in Boulder, Colorado, up on the hill adjacent to the university, I began to notice that more of the individuals that were hippies back then, the common name was hippies, they weren't just people with beads and walking around in sandals, long hair, beads on their neck, things of that nature, but there was something more spiritual to it. And it had nothing to do with the worship of God and His Christ. It had more, it had a darker spirit to it. Not all hippies, bell-bottom pants, tie-dye shirts, etc. No, but with many in the hippie movement, starting in the early 60s, there was an occult, there was a spirit about it. And then with the Beatles, when they began to become famous, as well as the Rolling Stones, some of the other rock groups, there was more of a interest in Eastern religions and religion and many different religions. George Harrison, the Hare Krishna, etc. This is exactly what Christ said would happen to the cultures in the world especially in the last, let's say, 100 years, 120, 150 years. There would be more and more secret societies, very hidden, unknown. They would do their rituals in dark, in the night, away from out in the country, in groves where they couldn't be monitored. In the universities here in the East Coast, Yale, Harvard, you have the secret society Skull and Bones. The Bush family, the father and son, were members of the Skull and Bones. You have the Freemasons. Within Freemasonry, you have the Freemasons that are totally dedicated from generation to generation, going back to thousands of years. Then you have the individuals that become Freemasons, but they really don't know the depth of what really happens in the behind the closed doors in Freemasonry. They're never allowed into that world, but they are, you might say, used as, I could use the word cover, just to kind of hide. It'd be accepted. The Shriners, the Daughters of Job, just kind of a cover to really hide. They do good. They are, the Shriners, they assist the burn victims. They try to do charitable things for the society, but that's just the facade. But deeper in, deeper down into the depths of what Freemasonry is, just like with the other secret societies, Skull and Bones, Rosicrucians, etc., there is that dark occult reality. So it is a reality. In past programs, I've touched on some of these points that I'm presenting in this program. I feel to be a little more in depth because we in this country, in the United States, with what is happening, with what has happened, not happening, has happened, will continue to happen with the changes in the society as a whole into dark things. I mean, in-your-face mutilation. A lot of the, many of the people with the piercings, with the tattoos. This is ancient societies and cultures, this was a form of worship, and it was in the Western world, it was not acceptable until maybe the last 50, 60 years. You know, in the World War II, the soldiers would come home with a tattoo on the arm, you know, with the word mom or something like that. It wasn't the whole body. This is a little beyond even the psychiatrists. Those who are analyzing the behavior of people are realizing that this is something much deeper in the psychological thinking of people that are getting these piercings, that are mutilating themselves. They won't use that term because we'd have to be politically correct. So the psychiatrists, they won't use the term mutilation, but really, these people, many, not all of them, many who transform themselves into, you know, another appearance to make a statement. They're unhappy. Psychiatrists now, that medical world, they are many people that are now regret having tattoos, and they're now going to have the tattoos removed. There are many who have had these piercings in their ears, their nose, different parts of their body, now regret having gone that far from what would be normal in a normal culture, and they are unhappy. Now they admit that this was not really the way they wanted their lives to, the direction they wanted to go in their lives, but due to pressures of the society, they felt this would be one way to be accepted and to fit in, maybe not so much with all of the culture, but at least a certain group. Well, they're very unhappy. Many have deep psychological issues. The only way that they can be helped, really, is through Christ himself. One thing about the writings of Jesus Christ is he will accept you as you are, where you are in life, where you have gone in life, and he will forgive you. It does forgive those that will come to him, ask for forgiveness, and he will help them psychologically to, in spite of what they have done to their bodies, to fit in, to be accepted. Because he's accepted them, they can overcome their psychological, you might say hurt, trauma, regret. He can give them hope in the world and through Christ, these people can be, really, they can be helped. It's the only help they're really going to get. Drugs aren't going to help them. Psychiatric world is not going to help them. Hypnosis may not help them, but the Lord Jesus can. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There was great spiritual or sexual perversion at the time of Noah before the flood. Women were having sex with fallen angels. I just talked about them here previously, in a few minutes ago. Literally, the women wanted to have sex with demons, with spirits, and they were. And they would have children called Nephilim, half angel, half human, called the Nephilim. The scientific/medical world today is trying to, and I believe has already been able to, once again bring about exactly what happened in the days of Noah, a sexual relationship with demons or fallen angels and mankind, and the offspring are half human, half angelic. As it was in the days of Noah, so would it be again in the time in which we live. This is a world that mankind cannot run away from. We cannot dodge or wish the evil that's coming on the world away. We cannot stop it. We have the technology, and mankind with this type of technology will use it. Just like the atomic bomb was used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Whatever we can invent, we will use. There's no, you might say, no throttle or governor or checks and balances to stop what these people in that world of genetic research basically can't accomplish. I don't know, you've heard the term chimeras, taking the DNA from a plant and splicing it into an animal. Years ago, the movie The Land of Dr. Moreau, where there were creatures on an island, and there was a scientist, mad scientist, that was crossbreeding every type of creature. It's happened again. We're doing it today. Mankind is doing it. And Christ said, what is happening in secret is going to be revealed openly. It won't be hidden. It will be exposed. The nature of man is to destroy. That's one thing that mankind is good at. Whatever we can touch, we can destroy. It's our nature. It's in the Bible. The Bible says that the heart of man is evil from even while you're sleeping, during every waking minute, even when you're sleeping. This is the nature of man. And what is happening in this country, in the United States, we as a nation, because of our wealth, because of the best universities there has ever been in the world, the access to education at the higher levels of education, we have become brilliant. We lead the world in technology, and we will use that technology for evil. We will use science for evil. Everything will be used for evil. This is in the Old Testament, New Testament, and in the book of Revelation. It's what we do, what we do. But America's in the Bible. Revelation chapter 17, a great whore, a great harlot that causes the nations of the world to commit fornication through mammon, through money. Chapter 18 is the description of this great end time empire in the culture. So you have the nation in its strength, its ability economically, militarily, through technology, in chapter 17, and this end time nation, which I firmly believe is the United States, in the culture, in verse chapter 18, the culture, a culture of leisure, of wealth, the ability to purchase anything, because of our great wealth, not only the wealth, because of our peace, because as a culture, we're sophisticated. As a culture, we are educated, and because of our one main law via the Constitution of this country, because of this Constitution, We are a nation like no other nation. The Constitution of the United States of America is in the book of Thessalonians chapter 2. I am not going to deviate from the direction I'm going to jump to the Constitution. I'm just telling you it is in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul speaks of it. I've talked about this. I've done a program on it maybe 2 years ago. Many things that I have presented in the past, I have to rehearse presently again because there's going to be a whole new audience coming into my website, which is thispresenttruth.com. I have donate features. Please support me. I have a way where you can contact me. I do not give out a phone. I do not do so much email except to thank those who assist me because I don't have the time. Time is so limited, so short, that I could not respond. And with the emails that I did get when I was on the radio, I couldn't keep up with them. Not even one day's worth of emails. I don't have that type of time. At that time, I was working. I still now am very busy with the website, learning everything that's involved with not only recording, but transferring files, etc. But you can contact me through mail. Rick Rodriguez at P.O. Box, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I don't have a daily schedule for podcasts as I have time, like I'm recording Sunday evening. I record and I just put it out by date so you know the date, so you kind of know the sequence as to what program I did and when I did it, on what date I've done it, what date it was recorded. And this way you have a timeline. But that doesn't mean that if I did a program on the 15th of October that it is out of date. No, my programs are never out of date. They are always current, even if you go back 3, 4 years, 5 years. I started in Las Vegas, Nevada, 2005. I was listening to a CD that I had from back then. Still current. Very current, because I'm presenting things that come from the Bible. And what comes from the Bible for the people that are not Christian people, the Christian, the unbelievers, those that don't know anything about the Bible, God still has commanded His people to present to everyone what is happening in the societies of the world, the wars that are occurring, that will occur, the timelines of what is happening with mankind. And in the book of Revelation, Christ wants mankind to know that mankind, governments especially, and rulers of the governments, portray God and Christ as being, vengeful. Well, vengeful against who? Not the good people of the world. Christ wasn't vengeful when He came and died for mankind. He wasn't vengeful when He forgives men and women their sins. When He warns the people of the world what the rulers of the world, the kings of the earth, the powerful men of the earth are going to do to their fellow man, that's not vengeful. That is a warning. God is telling the people of the world, there is a group of people that work for the devil. They are called the devil's servants. Christ has His servants, like myself. I'm a servant. I warn people that the devil has his children, and these children, their objective is to rule the world and to eliminate the poor, the cripple, anybody that is deplorable, that they don't like, especially in this country, that won't go along with the agenda of the rulers of the country. So those who say that God is just a God of vengeance, well, toward them, toward those who destroy the earth, to those who destroy their fellow man, who eliminate, try to murder millions and millions and millions of people throughout time, who love war for the sake of profit. Now, the countries have to protect themselves from invaders. That's in the Bible. So the nations, in the time in which we live, are going to arm themselves. Their budgets are going to be spent heavily on weapons of war. In the book of Joel, simply stated this way, there'll come a time when God says that the nations are to take the implements of farming, the tractors, the iron, the technology, and they are to use all of that to create weapons for war. And this is exactly what is happening. This country, we, through the term of Donald Trump has brought back justice to, you might say, our government, attempting to protect the people of our society from another group that Trump is at war with, they want total control of this country, and eventually they're going to get it. And the one that is going to lead this country is going to demand to be worshiped. And if he won't agree with and go along with receiving his mark, a number, and worshiping him, you can't buy and can't sell. Trump has been the middle of the eye of the hurricane. I've used an analogy many times before. I won't do it right now. But not only has Donald Trump been, you might say, given this country and the people of this country, including those that hate him, a little breathing room, Trump has also given the nations of the world breathing room also, giving the nations of the world time to adjust, because this country, the United States, Donald Trump doesn't realize, but he is setting up everything. He's setting the table for the person that's going to replace him. He's setting the table, and he has to. He's been ordained by God to set the table, to make America strong, great, diplomatically, to work deals with the other countries of the world. He just worked a deal in the Middle East with this Gaza conflict. It's not over. It's just a temporary, you might say it's a halftime. No, not even halftime. It's the third quarter. The end of the third quarter, we're getting ready to start the fourth quarter in this Gaza conflict. Israel, when this conflict is over, Israel is going to occupy Gaza, have security for Gaza, and is going to have a new real estate east of the Jordan River, the nation of Jordan, which goes all the way up to almost the Euphrates. Israel is going to own this real estate. It's in the Bible. Americans are going to scream. The Hamas, Hezbollah, the terrorist groups in the Middle East, the protesters in this country are going to have a fit. Doesn't matter. I'm telling you what the scripture says. It has to be. Why is Hillary Clinton so happy that Donald Trump was able to bring about a somewhat a stabilization in that conflict, because Clinton and the people that she is tied into, or that are tied into her, they want Jerusalem. They want to invade Israel. And Trump is helping them to, he's furthering that objective. He's assisting them in this objective. Donald Trump doesn't realize what he's doing, or his son-in-law. But eventually, the coming president of this country will eventually invade Israel. Israel is part of the globalist plan. The Rockefeller, the Clinton plan, and Donald Trump is helping them to further that objective. This is why you want to come back to my presentations. I am a Bible teacher. I've studied the Bible. I didn't plan to study the prophecies in the Bible, but once I met Christ and eventually gave my life to Christ, I just, you might say, was at the right place at the right time all through the decades to see what was happening and how these things occurred in the Bible. But I'm like flipping pancakes in the morning. I'm turning over one pancake to another, because I'm having to flip and kind of go back and forth. You might say going up and down the ladder. America's in the Bible. Revelation 17, Revelation 18. In Revelation 18, the culture. This culture, like no culture in the world. This is why people are wanting to come to this country, the land of opportunity, the land of freedom. And the people that are coming presently from the other nations, they are being used by the people in power in Washington and in all these states, the blue states in the country, to destroy this country, because the objective is to destroy the Constitution. They will do it. They will accomplish it. We cannot stop it. There's going to be a new law. The laws are going to change, and not for the better, not for the good of the people of this country. And the people that are being paid, the protesters who have been deceived into tearing this country apart, once it's torn apart, they're going to lose everything that they own. They're going to lose what is in the bank, their savings, their homes. They're going to lose. They don't realize they're shooting holes in the bottom of the boat that carries them. And there are not going to be many life rafts. And they're not going to end up, it's not going to be, it's not going to end up well for them. They are continuing to shoot holes in the boat. They're going to lose it. And then once they lose everything, it will be too late. It's going to be too late. And if they think that the people that have deceived them into destroying everything, if they think these people are going to continue to fund them, assist them, add money to their Bitcoin accounts, or deep state or dark internet accounts. No, there's not going to be a bottomless source of income for them. It will end, and it will be too late for them. They want to bring hardship on the country. Well, God is going to make sure that there's going to be hardship come to them too. It's going to come knocking on their front door. So it's in the Bible. So this way, should these type of rebellious people listen to these programs, I just want them to know the truth. I'm not against them. Christ can help them, but they've got to repent. And it's going to be too late. You know, somebody that falls off, jumps out of a plane or falls off of a cliff, if they have enough sense, they'll ask God to please have mercy on them before they hit the ground. And that brief period of time, they can be saved when they cry out to God and please, please God help me. They're not going to live. The consequences are going to be severe. But in that brief fall, they can cry out to God and be with Christ in eternity. It only takes seconds to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and to please capture you before you go into eternity. You don't want to go into eternity without Christ. Is there hope? Yes. Your hope has to be in God, first of all. Once your hope is in God, then God will help you with your needs psychologically and physically and in every way, economically. You may just get like the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. The people, the Christian people in the third world countries, China and India and all these other Christian-hating countries that are slave labor, I guarantee you that because these people are growing as Christians, trusting God, looking to God for every meal to make it through the day. These people are growing spiritually in their knowledge and experience of Christ. And they are grateful for the daily bread. They are thankful for the daily bread. They are thankful to live another day. And they, no matter what, whether they live, like the Apostle Paul says, whether he lives or whether he dies, it's with Christ. He dies, he lives as unto Christ. He dies as unto Christ. We in this, in America, in the land of the plumed serpent, in this land of plenty, this culture of great wealth, we, of all people, should be grateful. And here in this country, there's more psychological trouble, so hardship, than any other nation in the world, really. You think the people in the Middle East are having a tough time? They are. But here in this country, you have people who make $50,000-$60,000 a year, and they scream and they complain about being poor. But they've got a fairly good vehicle. They have whatever they need, and they're just not content. That is Babylon the Great. That is exactly what it says about Babylon the Great. They are not content. They complain about everything. That's what the people of this country, you see these people protesting. They're protesting against the greatest president ever in the history of the United States of America. History will prove that. History is already proving that. The nations of the world, the leaders of the world, not just the presidents and the prime ministers, but the leaders, the people in the NATO nations, in the EU, in the different Bilderbergers, they don't like Trump, but they have to say that Trump is making their world better. He is bringing great profit to these people. Here in Revelation chapter 18, this is what this nation, Babylon the Great, it's all about. It's very, very simple. It is a great It is a great society that has great wealth, greater than any other nation ever, than Egypt, Greece, Rome, any nation in the Middle East. And here is the wealth of this nation. It says that when the United States is destroyed in about 8 years, about the time that Christ returns, just before, he is going to destroy this country. And he's going to destroy it through the coming Antichrist. It says that when the kings of the earth, verse 9, chapter 18, verse 9, for you who are not Christians, you might as well know the truth. This is the United States of America. The kings of the earth who have committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with Babylon, they will weep and they will wail over this nation when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand off at a distance in fear of her torment and say, alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come. Verse 11, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore, and everything comes to Babylon on ship, either the west coast or the east coast, or up the river to the Great Lakes, or through the Gulf of Mexico. All these ship owners, these lines, ship lines, these men that have these corporations are going to, they're going to lose their biggest client. No one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, every kind of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, spices, cinnamon, incense, myrrh, frankincense. This is talking about the essential oils, the oils that are used for health, the oils that are used to keep women beautiful, and the fragrances when you bathe, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, and chariots. So vehicles, every kind of vehicle you can imagine. From France, Germany, from England, from South Korea, China, from the world. Slaves, that is, human souls. I do believe it means what is happening at the southern border. You have not only slaves, workforce, but you also have souls of men, meaning sacrifice. America will be a nation of sacrifice, in nation, not just the people that are sacrificed through war all over the world, hundreds and thousands at a time. But like in World War II, World War I, Vietnam, we suffer less than 60,000 troops, whereas the communists over 1 million. But this nation will be a nation where people will be brought in for sacrifice to the gods of Amaruka. This nation will become a nation of demons, of hateful birds, foul spirits. There is hope only in the Lord Jesus. He's the only hope for the world, not just the people of America, but for the world. And in the book of Revelation, he makes it clear. The first thing he does is he gives the world in which we live seven churches. There are seven lampstands. These lampstands are to present him in a proper way to the people of the world. But I'm afraid that even God's children are errant in their duties, because they fall into the trap of being engaged in the things of the world, like the Catholic Church, the Greek churches, Lutheran, Presbyterians. Oh, did I say the charismatic churches of America, Pentecostal churches, the fundamental churches? And one thing about Babylon the Great, the center religion of America would not be Catholicism or the Lutheran Church, Presbyterians, Protestants. It would be the evangelical Christian churches. This would be the land of the evangelical Christian people who preach the gospel, the good news that Christ is a Redeemer, willing to save whenever a heart is open. Whereas the other churches would be more religion. They would be set in their programs, whereas there'd be great flexibility within the evangelical churches, but still there would be great apostasy. A group of believers that really don't know their God, and that is the case in the evangelical churches. They know God for what he can give, but they don't know God for who he is as a friend, as a companion, as a counselor, as God. So you have in Revelation 18, what is important to the culture, this Babylon the Great? It is gold. Gold is at the top. And then silver, then jewels, precious stones. But what is the least important, Christ makes it clear, is the souls of people. The souls are eternal. The body can die, but the souls are eternal. And this is the least important item mentioned last in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. Gold is what is desired more than anything. And it says gold would come on ships to this country because Americans would have the ability to buy it. The website, thispresenttruth.com. And again, I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. You can write me at Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Did I say Post Office Box 871? I'm sorry, 872. I'm looking at the time. I'm being pressed for 30 seconds, and then I have to say bye for now. So Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I want you to be encouraged. There are good things coming for God's people, and through God's people, there are good things coming for the people of the world. So until the next program, God bless you, and Jesus Christ is God, and you can trust in him. So I will visit in the next session.